Welcome into Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
All right, welcome into the local hour. We're giving you a little bit of change as well. You know, usually the local hour. How about local hour plus five? How's that sound? Plus 5 minutes, Christian.
Yeah, we'll just end the show at 9:55. I'm joking.
But in all seriousness, as always, we got a loaded local hour for you guys. Kirby Smart had another press conference today. You know, spring football is here. Got to make sure we get all the details, all the as much information as we can to make sure that we survive from mid-April all the way until the end of August, Christian. Got to make sure because it's coming up. It's like the dead period is coming up.
Again, this is I'm prepared for. I warned you all at the start of spring, don't get your hopes up. Don't get too in love with the college football news circulating and the practice clips and the sound bites. It will disappear very quickly. You'll be looking around in June going, when's football season? Like, oh, there's baseball on?
Whoa. That was a little unnecessary.
All right, you're right. My bad.
A little unnecessary.
But you will be wondering where that football is, so don't
The
be
good
surprised.
News is, if you watched yesterday's show, you have plenty of options to help kill time throughout the rest of the offseason because we gave you our 10 games to watch during the offseason, previous Georgia games to watch. So if not, go back to yesterday's show and catch all that. But Kirby Smart had a press conference. Christian went. He even asked a question and actually led to Kirby Smart proving that I was right. So a little assist there from Christian. I really appreciate that. We're at like kind of the halfway point of spring practice and spring football for Georgia, so I felt necessary to go down and list all the things. Like, these are the things that we know. We're 2 weeks out from G-Day. Here's all everything that we know, questions that we had, the answers that we have, maybe some still lingering questions that we have as well. Quite a few Georgia football players leaving the roster, as always, head off to the NFL. We're going to discuss who is going to fill the voids that those players left. And then, speaking of all those dogs, we're going to say where their best landing spot is in the NFL draft for every player that has declared for the NFL draft. We're going to give you our ideal landing spots, even if it isn't plausible for it to happen. If it seems a little outlandish, we're just going to give you our opinions of like, hey, we think this player would be really good here. We'll give our thoughts and opinions there. So, we'll start it off, Christian. Kirby Smart had a press conference today.
Yeah, I want to not even going to bury the lead here. I asked Kirby a question. I even told you yesterday, I was like, I think this is the question I'm going to ask him. If you aren't familiar and you don't have social media, Kirby Smart went viral this past weekend for a clip that basically captured him chewing out Amaris Williams for what he did in practice. Apparently, Elias Williams, you know, to quote Kirby Smart, destroyed him and Kirby's proclaiming, don't put him in against the run ever again. And we had a good laugh about that yesterday and all these things. So I wanted to talk to Kirby about this and get his thoughts on it. So before we do that, Jay, we'll just go ahead and play the clip.
It could have been something as simple as like Amaris gets his foot stepped on and so he loses his balance. And so then Elias just like chucks him onto the ground. So maybe nothing to do with what Amaris did, but if you're going to fall on your face or it looks like a high, like Kirby's going to go out of his way to make sure you hear it of like, hey, man, we got to do better than that. And especially for a guy that's new to the program, you got to treat everybody the same. You got to be an asshole to everybody. Amaris being the butt end of the joke of that one.
I mean, I'll say this, that play in particular, he actually slipped and stepped on somebody's foot. So it's probably not a fair assessment of him because when you step on somebody else's foot and slip, you know, sometimes you get your ass whipped and then sometimes you just slip and you're not allowed to slip. But it wasn't as bad as it seemed, certainly, but I don't worry about it because, you know, there's a certain level of toughness it requires to play football and that's all for you guys to worry about. Y'all like to capture things and put them out and make them a big deal. We do this every day, so.
It's always fun when he like starts talking to the media people. Like when you ask him a question, he starts like, you media people like to say things and put them out. I was just sitting there like, I didn't even retweet it, man. Like, bro.
He made eye contact with you.
Bro,
he maintained
eye contact the entire time with me answering the question of like, well, actually, you know what really happened on that play. Like, I was just asked, the question I asked him was, does it ever bother you when these types of things of a private practice get out in the public and narratives start getting spun. And he's like, well, you people are the one who spin in there. Like,
you people are the one that take the videos.
He's like, wouldn't you like to know, media boy? I was like, like, dude, I'm just asking a question, man. But no, he did reveal that you were absolutely right, J. Will and Maris Williams stepped on a foot or had his foot stepped on. It was not nearly as bad as what the audio would have indicated. So that was kind of the vindication for you there.
I knew it. That's such a Kirby move. Like, that had Kirby written all over it.
You were out, yeah.
For one of those moments to happen. And it's so frustrating as a player for you to get called out for something that it really had nothing to do with you. You couldn't have done anything other than not slip and fall. So, I was right. Happy to have that type of moment there. And you, going back to what you're saying, though, there's another portion in Kirby Smart's press conference, too. I can't remember what the topic was. It was about the Nate going into the transfer portal or like getting him back. Yeah. And it's like, how does it feel that you guys got Nate Frazier back, that you re-signed him? He's like, well, it doesn't matter to us. You guys are the ones that care about it. We don't care about that type of stuff. He's like, really? You don't care about re-signing your starting running back? I would hope that you care about that. Goes like, you people are the ones that care about that crap, not us.
I love it, dude. It's so much fun to be in there and just like watch that and you know, feel that.
It is funny.
But no, some of the other things you discussed, we got official confirmation that Gunnar Stockton has suffered a knee injury. Suffered a knee injury is what he said. Ooh. Apparently it was something he did during preseason workouts and that he's progressing fine. I think that the best way to put this is Gunnar Stockton tweaked his knee and the staff probably looked around and said, this is kind of a great opportunity to force feed Ryan Puglisi some runs reps right now.
Yeah, because this happened in a drill, correct?
I think it was a workout. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was something like that. So it's not like Gunnar Stockton took a helmet to the knee or something like that, or like he hyperextended his leg or anything like that. I don't think it's anything like that, but certainly. Yeah, I mean, we talk about this all the time, not just with quarterbacks, but I mean, we talked about it with the offensive line going into the offseason, where it's, hey, Ernest Green doesn't need to take a single snap this spring. It's just not necessary. He's been banged up before in his career. He's been at Georgia for 5 to 6 years now. No need for him to be taking any reps this spring. Instead, how about we give those to Juan Gaston, Ekene Ogboko, all those guys? How about we just dedicate those reps to them? Same thing for Gunnar Stockton. Gunnar Stockton has been at Georgia now for 5 years. Mm-hmm. No need for him to be taking the ones reps at this very moment. Now, he does need to continue to improve. Not saying that he can just kick his feet up. He's like, he's the perfect prospect. He doesn't need any practice. I'm not saying that, but it's very vital that they figure out what Ryan Puglisi is.
What would Gunnar say to be like, hey, Gunnar, we don't need you to take any more reps at the ones. You're fine. Just
I'll ask some bull junk, coach. I ain't sitting on the sideline. That's Fired Up Gunner. I haven't done Fired Up Gunner. I've only done the, yeah, you know, it's great.
That's Interview Gunner.
Love the dogs, but Practice Gunner, I think, has got a little fire behind it.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Some other things. This is the part of the Kirby Smart Media Availability where basically it's a segment called You Ask Kirby Smart About a Player, and he gives you a very, very surface-level answer. So I'll go down the list here. He was asked about the new players on the O-line, said that really good competition going on, no one's sticking out so far. He was asked about Caden Prothro and what he brings. Very athletic, got good size, got good speed, got to get up to speed and you know, be able to contribute. He was asked about the quarterbacks behind Gunnar Stockton, said they're all working hard, they're all doing very well, they're all great at their own things. Running backs, what he wanted them to be better at. Third down efficiency was kind of the main thing that he pointed to, which, you know, fair answer, and then pointed out, you know, how he's happy with how Nate, Chauncey, and some of the new guys, Dante, and all the others are progressing. So that's going very well. He was asked about safeties, and this is where we got our second nugget. Said, Khalil Barnes has been great. He's been doing a lot of great things for us. Just, you know, super pleased with where he's at. He revealed that Jamarlee Riddle hasn't been able to do a lot physically. So, for those of you who don't know, Jamarlee Riddle was one of the kind of more hyped up transfers this year.
Sure.
Had a lot of really good tape, an absolute dog, got some Javon Bullard comps. In the initial spring practice reports of, hey, these are the players that are not going to be available to us, he was not included in that. Now, Jamarlee Riddle, from my understanding, has not been able to do much at all at practice. He's dealing with a foot injury.
This is something they knew about prior.
Correct, correct. So Kirby revealed that he's doing a lot of the mental reps. He's on the field. He's making calls. He's got a microphone and things like that. But when the ball is snapped and all those things, he's not able to participate in practice.
And if you want even more details on Jamarlee Riddle, Brooks put out a nug earlier today with, like, I mean, all kinds of details about why he transferred to Georgia, what Georgia expects of him, all of these types of things, what the timeline is for him this upcoming year. If you want all those details, patreon.com/BrooksAustin. All kinds of good stuff coming out right now at spring practice, but there was one drop today specifically about Jamarlee Riddle. It's got some really good stuff. So if you want that, again, patreon.com/BrooksAustin.
Great plug for the boss man there.
Thanks.
Next one, he was asked about Zaki Helton, which we have a new name pronunciation, so it's a shame Brooks isn't
Zakai.
It is pronounced Zakai.
I have alarmed him about this. I have told Brooks it is Zakai Helton. I think we just, you know, maybe it's one of those things for him where when we have to have a name change or, like, we find out how you actually say someone's name, we just have to, like, almost like we have Tourette's, you just randomly say, Zakai.
Zakai.
It's Zakai. Like, just out of nowhere.
Just Zakai. He's doing the opening monologue. Zakai.
Zakai. McLeod. Like, we'll just have to do that. Bullard. So, like, it really instills in his mind.
Bullard.
Ballard. God, that one always cracked me up.
That was bad, dude.
Javon Ballard.
Zakai Helton is battling Crohn's disease, actually.
Yeah, lost a ton of weight in high school because of it.
Correct. So, said that, you know, he's got a really good program right now, and that Zakai actually revealed that one of the reasons that he committed to Georgia was because they offered so much support with that. So, that's kind of cool to see. That was an interesting story that Kirby Smart told about. Was asked about Malachi and Cortez at the center position. Obviously, Drew Bobo's hurt. Both have been getting a lot of reps and competing. We're very happy with their progress. And then finally, the last player that was asked about for this portion of the segment, Elias Williams. He uses his size well, but he has to become more twitchy. Very pleased with the tight end group as a whole.
That's interesting. Become more twitchy.
Or he's looking to be more twitchy. Something along those lines of more twitchiness.
We interesting.
Need it to twitch more.
Because, like, twitch I've always envisioned as, like, either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
Like, you're either a twitchy athlete or you're not. So, interesting phrasing around of, like, wants to be more twitchy, or, like, I don't know what that looks like for Elias, but I don't know. Very interesting.
The next three things that he discussed were Coach Robert Edwards and how he's affecting the running back room. Kirby said that he's a great example and a great coach to have in that room, not only because he understands the game and played at a high level, he provides a great deal of understanding as to how to deal with adversity. You're going to deal with adversity at some point in your collegiate career. Robert Edwards obviously had a devastating knee injury in his time in the NFL, had to come back from that, had some few seasons, was never the same player after that, unfortunately. So he, more than most people, would understand what it means to deal with said adversity. So very good that he's on that staff. Was asked about how, hey, you've had explosive offenses in the past, but it's been through explosive players like Brock, Ladd McConkey, Zachariah Branch. Is it more the system that needs to become more explosive or the players? And he revealed, you need explosive players to be explosive. Like, sometimes you can scheme things up and that's great, but at the end of the day, sometimes players just have to make plays.
Now, I did see this, his answer to this question, and I thought it was interesting of how, like, when you talk about an offense being explosive and what it takes for them to be explosive, he talks about explosive players. But as fans, you think about, well, you need a really good OC, and you know you need to know when to call those plays, and you need a great quarterback, and blah blah blah. Like he said, Kirby said it's easy to be explosive in his opinion. It's not hard to be an explosive offense. You got to make the plays. You got to catch the ball. You got to make the throw. You got to make the blocks. Like, it's not hard to be explosive. You just have to do the right things. It's not as complex maybe as it seems at times.
And the last note from Coach Smart's presser, which, by the way, lasted about 20 minutes.
Ooh,
got a good 20 from Coach Kirby.
Now, to be fair, he took last week off, so he owed some minutes.
I'm not going to say that. That was Jay Will that said that.
It was a very sarcastic.
You don't owe me anything, Coach. Thank you for letting me come to the availability.
I love how we're sitting here acting like, Kirby, we know you're listening. Sorry. Let me apologize.
Coach Smart sitting at home on his iPad. No, these are more. Leland, don't let them back in the media room.
But hypothetically, if you are listening, did not mean that. Just saying.
Yeah,
we're grateful for any and every accessibility we get to the program.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes.
His last question he was asked about is, how have you seen Coach Knight impacting the room so far? Very interesting answer on this. He goes, it's too early to tell right now. He's still getting the foundational relationship set.
Yeah, I mean, something that doesn't get talked a lot about during spring football is obviously players are getting acclimated and players are looking to improve their game, but new coaches have to get acclimated. I mean, this is their – he's only a few weeks into, like, really being a positions coach at the University of Georgia. So he's got to really figure out how things flow, how practice goes, what's expected, what he wants to do, like, get his message sent across to all of his players. So he's got to get acclimated as well, just like players.
Following Coach Smart, we got running back Chauncey Bowens, who gave us a good solid 5 minutes. He also, you know, complimented Coach Edwards and what he had been able to do for that program, talked about how he knew he was a legendary running back at the time. Says that he feels great after dealing with injuries. Obviously, Chauncey was hindered last year due to some calf injuries. Probably didn't get to see the full potential of Chauncey Bowens, so right now he seems to be feeling great. He was asked about his number switch. For those of you who don't know, Chauncey Bowens will not be wearing number 33 this year. He will be wearing number 5. Was kind of, hey, why are you doing this? What's talk to me behind that? He actually revealed it's to honor Garrison Hurst.
Oh.
He roomed with Gannon, who's Garrison's son, and kind of asked him, hey, what would you think if I wore your dad's number? And you know, he had said that he'd been eyeing it before, so I don't know if that was the main reason why he wanted it. Maybe just wanted number 5, but he has Gannon Hurst's blessing, and he does it to kind of honor Garrison Hurst.
Hey, good on him to have the awareness of, like, hey, let me check up on this, get the blessing from the Hurst family first before I just go out there and rock number 5. Because, you know, fans are very protective of certain numbers, even though number 5 is not retired in Sanford Stadium. People love them some Hurst.
Oh, yeah, you can't be a scrub and wear number 3.
No, don't. Like, God,
no. No. You have to, like, that number 3 is the LSU equivalent.
If you're an offensive player, you rock number 3 with proud, and with pride, and you better be good.
For sure. This was an interesting one. It was kind of talked about how, hey, you know, there might have been some rumors that you were flirting with the portal this season, and, you know, what was that like? He shut that down immediately. He said, no, there wasn't really any rumors. I was always going to stay here. I never really entertained portal offers. So, and again, you got to take that at face value. Like, there's no reason to deny that now. He didn't deny the offers were coming in, and right. Nate Frazier went viral a few months ago talking about how he saw some crazy offers. So these players are fielding offers, which goes back to everyone's getting tampering offers.
Yeah, it's like I said yesterday with the Jeremiah Smith thing where he's talking about, yeah, I got this massive offer from a school and you guys know who they are. I don't care if I know who they are or not. We know you're getting offers, okay? We know Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens are getting offers. We know everybody in that Georgia running back room that was on the roster last year got offers to go somewhere this offseason. Like, no matter who you are, you're getting freaking offers to go somewhere.
For sure. Last thing he talked about was Dante Dowdell and how having experience in that room in the SEC was very valued. So the room seems to be welcoming number 22 with open arms this season.
Love me a 22.
Yeah. Next, we got Nate, who talked about, also had a story to talk about with Coach Edwards, revealed that he talked to him about what did you do with fumbles? How did you mentally deal with that? Very interesting. This is obviously something that is somewhat of a sore subject, even though I think it's overplayed at this point. Like, Nate Frazier had 2 fumbles last season.
Yeah, well, he cut them out. After the Bama game, it was,
yeah,
we're good.
But either way, it's obviously something that very much weighs on Nate to this point. And Coach Edwards revealed it's more of a mindset than anything. If you're worried about fumbling, if you're thinking about all of it the time, you're more likely to do it. So, kind of solid advice from Coach Edwards. This was the most fun part of the entire day for me. For those of you who don't know, Nate Frazier's recently become a dog owner.
It's a French bulldog, right?
It's a French bulldog, I believe. Yeah. It's French something.
Okay.
It's, you know, French.
Don't like the French, huh?
I'm an American, dude. We have an unspoken rivalry with the French.
All right.
Anywho, we're not going to get
their fries, though, are pretty good.
That's Belgium. Don't give them credit for that.
Hey,
it's Belgium that made the fries.
I was making a very American joke.
Dude, hold yourself to a higher standard.
Come on, man.
We're
talking about farts to start the show, and I make a joke about French fries being from France. Hold yourself together.
God forbid a man have morals. Anyways. Nate Frazier was asked about what's life like as a dog owner. How's that kind of going? And he gave us a good 45 seconds of telling us about all of the ways his dog has gone to the bathroom in his house. He said the dog went to the bathroom on the pads. I clean the pads up. Goes on the couch. Pees on the couch. I put him in the bed. He pees on the bed. I'm like, surely this dog doesn't have to go to the bathroom anymore. Goes on the carpet. Like, this went on for. I feel bad for Nate Frazier, man. His house must just smell like a litter box right now.
And that's the thing is, like, when dogs start peeing on things, it's really hard to get that smell out. Like, you can,
yeah,
especially when they're doing it everywhere. Obviously, it's a pain to clean. Like, you got to get the carpet cleaner, you got to wash the sheets, you got to do all that. But House training a dog is a very taxing process. It can be, at least.
For sure. He was asked about how the dynamic between him and Chauncey is expected to get better this season. He gave a really good answer to this. He says, we're not focused on this duo. We're focused on getting better as a room as a whole. Mm-hmm. I know there's kind of the sentiment that there's a 1-2 punch right. of Georgia, and it's, you know, this guy and this guy, and that Nate and Chauncey are kind of believed to be those guys this year. Nate and them are viewing it as a room as a whole, so that was kind of nice. Talked about how getting to work with the new vets. This was an interesting question. I want to give a shout-out to Ben Wolk for that. Everyone talks about how you get the young guys up to speed, the freshmen, the incoming guys. What do you do for the transfers that it's not their first time playing college football? It's their first time in in this facility, in this program. Nate said, you got to teach younger guys how to be college athletes, but you have to teach the older guys how to be Georgia athletes. So that was a very, very interesting way to put that. He was also asked about transfer rumors. And the way Nate recounts this is that he woke up one day and saw all these rumors on social media and just turned his phone off and went to talk about how, you know, I feel like I've showed everyone I bleed red and black. There's no other place for me. Like, this is where I'm meant to be. Very much proclaimed his love for UGA. So I don't think that there's ever any worry that Nate Frazier has ever been unhappy at the University of Georgia.
Well, I think, too, like, what's hard to decipher in those moments is now with college athletes, it's no longer do they want to enter the portal. Obviously, their own opinion matters, and what they ultimately want to do matters a whole lot. But when it comes to, like, things being leaked and maybe, like, options are being explored, you have to remember that these players have agents, and these agents may think a little bit differently than the athletes do. So, like, sometimes it's hard to know, like, where that information is coming from. Like, oh, there's interest here from Nate Frazier that he might want to go here. Well, is it Nate Frazier that has interest going there, or is it Nate Frazier's camp? And this applies for every athlete. I'm not saying that's what happened here, but in the offseason when these rumors happen, like, it's so hard to know, like, is it really the athlete that feels this way, or is it the agent being like, hey, we got a pretty sweet deal over here. I know you love Georgia, but this might be better off for us to go here.
And it could also be trying to leverage that to say, well, hey, Georgia, this school is offering my client X. And then the rumor gets out of, oh, well, now Nate Frazier's thinking about going to the – like, there's so many nuances. It isn't Nate Frazier woke up one day and went, I don't know if I want to play for Georgia anymore.
Athens really not cutting it anymore.
Yeah, so I don't think that's ever what happened. So you're right. There's a bunch of nuances to that. Last thing Nate was asked about was – you know, 2024, the running game wasn't great. 2025, there was a massive increase on that. What changed between those two seasons, he would say? And the team was more connected. That was basically the gist of what his answer was for that, of how everyone's playing for each other. So when you have that, there's more of a results-based in success in that. Final player we got was Elijah Griffin, who his first media appearance and was not nervous at all. So shout out to him. He was asked about, like, who have you kind of been leaning on recently for your experience? Talk about Warren Brinson, a guy that has a lot of experience, knows what it takes to be in the NFL, very close with those players.
Okay, that makes sense now that I think about it.
Was asked, what's the best advice you've gotten this time at Georgia? Take things day by day. Don't worry so much about the end result. Be a process-based player. I wonder where we've heard that before. Said that C.J. Allen set the example for how to be a pro. Shocker there. I mean, C.J. Allen, I feel like from the moment he got to Athens, was like, oh, that guy's going to be an NFL linebacker
for sure.
Day. So no shot that he set the example. Valden Sohn reminds Elijah Griffin of Elijah Griffin.
Oh.
So he goes, yeah, he reminds me a lot of me. So pretty funny.
All those jokes I made about John Summerall now aren't looking too good.
No, but he did it in an endearing way and explained, like, how he had a lot to learn when he got there and how there were things that he wasn't necessarily quite doing right. I don't think he was being like, this guy's just
it's another
as
me.
Me.
It's another me.
My God, it's another me. So that was it. And then Elias Williams, last thing was, he's been doing things the right way on and off the field. So I think we should expect big things from Elias. And I'm about to sneeze, so I'll let you take over now.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you for doing your job and attending the press conference today, bringing us all the information. Always love that, you know. I know sometimes people don't have the time in the day to go and watch a 20-minute press conference from Kirby and all the players. So, you know, we just give you the cliff notes, the important things, or the things that we feel are important, and we bring those to you guys. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. I know you certainly should right now, because there's not a whole lot going on. This is the football that you get. That's the information that we get. But speaking of that, based on the information that we have gained from these press conferences and based on what we know as people that cover the football team, you know, we had a lot of questions heading into the spring practice, and we listed all of them out, certain positions that we have bigger questions on. And I wanted to go and break down, like, we're just a couple of weeks or a few weeks out from G-Day. Now you're about to make me sneeze. We're just a
you don't sneeze.
We're just a few weeks out from G-Day right now, so I wanted to go ahead and break down all the things that we do know about this football team. So the first one that I have on my list, offensive line depth is getting figured out. I wouldn't say that they obviously know who, like, the travel squad is and who, like, all of their key pieces are. I think they know the majority of them. But outside of the starters that we know of, and that would be Ernest Green, that would be Drew Bobo, that would be Donnie Glover, that would be Juan Gaston. We know those four, but everybody else behind them and who's going to play the other guard spot, I think those things are getting figured out. So Ja Jackson, again, is getting hyped up this offseason. Take that however you want, but it does sound like there's some improvement in his game. He's a better player than what he was last year. That's what you always hope for any player, but it seems like the ceiling is super high for Ja Jackson. Yeah. We just got to find it. We got to find our lane. We got to, like, really break down everything and make sure that we're doing all the small things correctly as a guy that hasn't played a whole lot of football.
I think the best way to say what we know about this offensive line room right now is that the ceilings for a lot of the quote-unquote unknowns are extremely high. Daniel Calhoun has an extremely high ceiling. Ja Jackson has an extremely high ceiling. Zakai Helton has an extremely high ceiling. And I don't know if he's on your list already, but there hasn't been a media availability or a player availability or a pro day we talk to the players after where Zakai Helton hasn't been mentioned at least once.
Yeah.
At that point, I think you have to kind of be like, all right, this is probably something here. Like, Kirby Smart has mentioned, now he's been asked about him, but Kirby Smart has mentioned him. Defensive linemen have mentioned him. Older offensive linemen have mentioned him. Former players that were in pro day have mentioned, like, hey, that's a guy that I've heard a lot of good things about. Mm-hmm. So Zakai Helton is probably the only, I don't want to say surefire thing here, but he's gotten the most hype there.
Yeah, like Vowden's been mentioned a little bit throughout the offseason, but when it comes to Zakai Helton, and I have it in my notes, like I had a whole separate bullet point for him of Zakai Helton is continuously being mentioned. Like, it seems like this is the true freshman that is just going to wow everybody. And it's not saying he's going to be the only one, but we heard similar things about Juan Gaston and Donnie Glover last offseason, where it was, these two guys are really good. These two guys are going to play for us. We don't know when, but they're going to be really good. Zakai Helton is the same thing. But going back to the offensive line discussion, the names that I have of, like, who it seems like are going to be the core players on the offensive line this season, and this list could change, so don't take this as, like, this is fact, so from now until the end of the season, these are the guys. Like, things can obviously change, but I would say behind the starters that I mentioned, it'd be Ja Jackson, Jackson, Zakai Helton, Daniel Calhoun, Michael Unai, and Cortez Smith. Now, it's Cortez Smith and / Malachi Tolliver, like those two guys, because they're battling out who's going to be the backup center behind Drew. And it's a good opportunity because Drew Bobo is a veteran. Probably don't need to be expending too many reps with him. In fact, he's missing spring practice, correct?
Correct. He's still dealing with his ankle injury.
Correct. So Kirby Smart mentioned at the beginning of the spring. So they're getting a ton of reps between those two guys. But Cortez Smith, hearing good things about him, which is a good sign, was a freshman last year. So him and Malachi Tolliver kind of battling out right now, seeing who's going to be the second center. Graham Houston, obviously, is a guy that you can mention in this conversation as well. Maybe Ekene Ogboko, the true freshman, he's certainly in the mix as well, I would imagine, like getting reps. But the names that I mentioned are the ones that I would say, like, today, if I had to pick a group of offensive linemen that went and traveled to an away game, those are probably the names that I would envision them taking.
I would agree with that.
So that's me talking, by the way. That's just me. So take that however you want. Now, we did find out, like you mentioned, that Jamarlee Riddle is dealing with an injury, not really participating in spring practice. And so it was a question of, where's Jamarlee Riddle going to play this season? Are they going to put him at safety? Are they going to put him at star? What are they going to do with him? So with him out of the conversation for now, at least, it kind of clears things up a little bit for who might be at that second safety spot, because I think that's where he would have played. I think he's going to be a safety for Georgia beside KJ Bolden. And so now we kind of get a better idea of, like, who are these guys that we need to pay attention to. And it's Khalil Barnes is obviously one of them.
Yep.
Khalil Barnes and Zion Branch are probably the two that I would say at the moment, because remember, Kyron Jones not available for spring either, still dealing with an injury. So I'd say probably your first two are Zion Branch and Khalil Barnes, probably the first two guys in the mix. Maybe getting some Rayshon Dinkins back there. Maybe they cross-train all the time, so I'd imagine that he's getting some reps back there. And then Todd Robinson as well. Like, that would be your safety room at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like what you know most about this, and this isn't even a no, but obviously we know now that Jamarlee Riddle is not going to be available for the spring. I think that kind of gives you a good inclination of, hey, a lot will happen in the fall, but when you start this far behind on a Georgia roster that, by the way, you don't know the depth chart, I think back to Tyke Smith. Yep. Tyke Smith was battling an injury. Now, he got re-injured, obviously, unfortunately, but mm-hmm. he still had such a way to go. Like, on that 22 roster, he was not on the top of that depth chart. Like,
no.
It was Tyke Smith after Javon Blard, after Dan Jackson, after guys like that. So, you got to crawl up. So, maybe we don't buy as much stock in the 2026 for Jamal Abraham right now, which is unfortunate because I was excited to see him play.
Still has multiple seasons left, by the way, and also it's important to remind you guys, like, if this were to be the case, like if it does end up being one of these situations with his injury, you get 9 games and then you can redshirt. So there's nothing to worry about there of him losing a year or anything like that. Right? They're good. You're going to get Jamali Riddle and you're going to get plenty of him. He's going to be a really good football player. When you get to see him for the first time, I don't know. We'll have to see about that one. But if you had to make me pick today, it'd probably be KJ Bolden, Zion Branch to start. That seems to be how Georgia always deals with these types of things. Of the guy that's been here. Now, I know Zion was a transfer too, but this is his second year. This is Khalil's first. It'd probably be KJ and Zion, and then Khalil quickly out there, though. I'm not saying that Khalil Barnes is going to have to be waiting and sitting for playing time. I think they're going to play both of them. I think they're going to rotate them, and I think they're going to get quite a few guys out there. Gunner injury. Lots of reps for Puglisi. We mentioned it a little bit when you were running down Kirby Smart's press conference notes, but this is, I wouldn't say best case scenario, but this isn't a bad scenario for Georgia to be in right now.
No, not at all. Like, and again, you want Gunnar Stockton to get as many reps as possible because there are certainly areas where Gunnar Stockton needs to improve. There's no denying that. I don't think that we've mentioned that enough times. But there's also areas where, hey, Gunnar Stockton's not going to be on the roster next season. That's a given at this point. We need to make sure that whatever happens, that we've given whoever it is as many opportunities to be as successful as they can be. It seems like, and history would indicate, that it's Ryan Puglisi right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to give Ryan Puglisi as much opportunities as he can. So,
and like not only that, like, but since Gunner's dealing with an injury, like, this isn't even opportunities for Puglisi to go out there and take the ones reps, but I would imagine, too, this is opportunities for Puglisi to go out there and treat practice as if he is a starter. Like, I'm in this situation where I'm the guy right now. We'll run practice that way, run the offense that way, because Gunner's on the side right now rehabbing his injury. So it feels like Ryan Puglisi is the guy. So the reps are great. The situations that he's being put in is great for him. Hopefully Georgia is getting a good confirmation on Puglisi of, all right, things are tracking along right now. He's where he needs to be. We're seeing the improvement. This guy is tracking to be the starter the next season. Or you're getting the answer of, all right, might need to open it up a little bit next year, might need to look, explore our options a little bit. Ultimately, though, I don't think you get that answer until you see Puglisi playing games this fall, and you won't have an affirmative answer on him until the end of the season anyways. But always good to know what you have in your backup quarterback, and especially for a guy like Puglisi, where it's always seemed like been the plan where he's going to be your starter one day. And then the final note that I have, and you can take this as a good thing or a bad thing, things have been intentionally quiet with the wide receiver room.
Yeah.
We found out today that Isaiah Kanyon dealing with an injury right now, working his way back, that he'll get back when he's ready. But not a whole lot of buzz, not a whole lot being like, even in press conferences, and that's why I said intentionally, like, they're just not being talked about.
And I always like to gauge things based on what you were hearing last year and what we know now. What we know now is that Colby Young and Zachariah Branch were the dudes in that room. And there was a lot of solid talent behind it, but Colby Young and Zachariah Branch were the dudes. What was it we heard all last season about those two guys? Colby Young's a great leader. Zachariah Branch is a hard worker. You didn't really hear much of, my God, Zachariah Branch is going to be hard to tackle this season.
Mm-hmm.
Colby Young's going to have a fantastic year. Now, those projections were made just based on that and then based on hope alone, but you never heard someone come in front of a microphone and go, man, those two guys are just bawling in practice right now. I think things are intentionally kept quiet.
Because we
obviously, now, Colby Young didn't have the season we all thought he should have had because injury robbed him of that, but Colby and Zachariah were the dudes all season long.
Mm-hmm.
And that was probably known to come practice. Like, it was probably pretty evident by the time those two guys were on the field, like, hey, these guys are going to be really good.
And, like, too, there's so many names in there that you're really trying to figure out. You're trying to figure out your depth chart. Like, if the wide receiver room were to be mentioned right now, it probably would be about London Humphreys, if I had to guess. like, just speak about the known commodity in the room. Let's not talk about the younger guys that are working their way and trying to earn their playing time right now. We'll just keep it with, hey, yeah, London Humphrey's doing his job out there. Like, it's just been intentionally quiet. And, you know, that could be a good thing, a bad thing. I think it's not anything to be concerned about just because we know the talent that's in the room. And even if you did hear great things about the wide receiver room right now, you still would have this same feeling that you probably do about the wide receiver room now until the season anyways of like, yeah, it looks good now, but I won't feel good about it until I see it. So even if we did have a whole lot of praise to give you right now about Talon Taylor, CJ Wiley, any of those guys, it wouldn't mean a whole lot to you probably anyways. But the good thing is that since Isaiah Cannon is kind of dealing with an injury right now, CJ Wiley, all those guys, they're really getting to cut it wide open at practice, and they're getting a lot of reps. They're getting their development is being addressed at the moment, so that's a good thing. So those are all the things that I would say I know for a fact right now about Georgia's football team.
I think those are all very, very solid. You don't know much this time of year.
Yeah.
You don't know virtually anything. Kirby Smart will tell you guys never know anything. So, I mean, it makes sense.
These are the things that only matter to us anyways, okay? So we'll just leave it at that.
All right, we're sorry about that, Coach Smart. Please don't.
Again, yeah, we're sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We're sorry.
I'm just being funny. Bro, it wasn't funny, though.
I don't need him walking up to the podium and just side-eyeing me from now on. Just like,
well, he did it today. He already has something against you. What'd you do?
He didn't side-eye me.
He spoke directly to he you, was Christian.
I asked him the question. He was looking at me and answering the question. Now, it was kind of – it did feel personal. He was like, that's what you all want to do. I was like, dude, whoa.
You know what it is? He saw the Diddy counter. He's like, this immature.
This is the kid who's doing the damn Diddy counter.
You seen the craft that he's doing?
Zero out of 100. What are the odds Kirby Smart knows about the Diddy counter?
Oh, zero. Maybe two. I'll put it at like a 2% chance.
2% chance. I like that.
There's a slight chance he knows about it.
Probably has no idea that I made
it. Takes up no space in his brain, though. Like, it just, no. Whatever. All right, you introduced this fun segment of who will fill the void for Georgia. Now, when you hear that, it sounds like who's going to play wide receiver this year now that Zachariah Branch is gone? Who's going to play left tackle? Who's going, like, all these things. We did it a little differently to where we actually assigned the voids that were left by these players. Yeah, you created the list. I really like this.
It's much more role-based than anything. Obviously, you need an X receiver. Obviously, like you said, positions are empty. But those players that the positions they had certain roles that they played within the offense. So, for example, I think this is the best void that we've talked about all. Who is the third down Cass Jones running back? Who is the wide receiver out of the backfield? Who's going to make the difference in that regard? We don't really know yet. From everything I've heard, they're kind of trying to find someone to do it by committee. And I think that might be what they're trying to get away from, because the knock on Cass Jones, I think, was that you became a very tendency-based team.
When he was on the field, you knew what was up probably.
And that is not to Cass Jones' fault. That's to the detriment that, hey, Cass Jones is really the only guy who can do what we're asking him to do right now. So when he's on the field, everyone goes, oh, George's trying to get the back out of the backfield in receiving game. And they're either going to throw the ball too because he's really good. To the point where people are getting mad that Cass Jones is getting handoffs because he's been designated as, hey, this is the receiving back. So I think that this year they're going to try to fill that void with a bunch of guys, because if Nate Frazier's a threat out of the backfield too, you can't cue off on that. You can't say, oh, number three's in, they're definitely going to throw the ball. Or, oh, right, Chauncey Bowens is in, they're going to throw the ball here. So I think that's how that's going to be addressed.
You know, that's a good answer, and it's probably the best solution. And obviously that's ideal if you could have any of your running backs be your third down running back. But it would be super beneficial for what Georgia has in the room this year, because I think that Nate, Chauncey, and Dante all have different skill sets. I'd say that they have different strengths, and they do things well. They're talented football players, but their strengths vary from one another, which is a good thing. That's kind of what you want in a running back room. But if you have the ability to throw all three of them out there on third down, or Jay Lamar or Dwight Phillips or whoever it is, that would be best case scenario, because then you really are keeping defenses on their heels, and third and longs don't become automatic. Like, they're automatic enough. Like, if it's third and long, you probably know what the offense is going to be trying to do anyways, but it does provide some ability to, again, keep the defense on their heels a little bit more. So I don't think this is really an answer that we'll get until after G-Day. I think once we kind of see these running backs in action, see how they're used, I think then you'll get a better idea of, like, okay, this is what these guys excel at. This is something that they'll be doing this year. Maybe not this guy.
For sure. Next one. Who is the 50-50 style receiver? Now, this is typically reserved for your X guy, and I would say that kind of to a degree, Colby Young was this beforehand, before he got injured, which opened the door for Elias Williams to kind of be that.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors that Caden Prothro might have some specific X packages made for him. So I think this will also be kind of a wait and see till we find out. I think Elias Williams probably has the front running for, hey, we need 15 yards. Let's just see if number 10, let's just throw it up to number 10, the famous James Franklin.
Yeah. But, why don't you just throw it up?
But the all right, we're going to give this guy a chance to make a play.
You design these plays. That's the difference.
Correct.
Of like, we are seeking, like, anytime we can get a 50-50 ball for this player, that is a win. Elias is a great answer because we've already seen him do it. Like, can C.J. Wiley do this? We don't know yet. He hasn't had the opportunity to really showcase that. Isaiah Kanyon could be one of these guys. I don't know. Like, even Sakovia Y. Elton. Like, I know that he's the slot receiver, and he's known to be this jitterbug and really athletic, but he's got some long arms, and he's got a built frame on him. So I don't think he can just be labeled as he's a slot guy, he's the yak guy, he's a short route guy. I think that you could see some contested catches from Sakovia this season, so maybe he slides into a role like that as well.
This one feels like a fairly easy answer to some degree because we got an answer due to injury last season. Jonelle Aguero was a star for the majority of last year. Rayshon Dinkins filled that position as a freshman and seemed to do it very well. I would assume that your star position, your slot defender, is going to get filled by Rayshon Dinkins. However, what if we started entertaining Georgia maybe going to a 4-3 a little more? Maybe saying, all right, we need Justin Williams, Chris Cole, and Raylan Wilson on the field instead of a fifth defensive back. Like, that slot void could be filled by a linebacker this season. Now, obviously, Georgia's multiple enough, and they run a 4-2-5 to the point where you're probably going to get a lot of defensive stars at the slot position, but don't be surprised if you see a 4-3.
That's an interesting point to make. I mean, yeah, the answer is Rayshon Dinkins. Now, the real question of that is, how involved is a guy like Gentry Williams, the Oklahoma transfer, who they seem to be really high on? They think he's going to be a good football player, and I think that he would really thrive well potentially in that. But he also could play corner. Just don't know where he's going to be placed on the roster at this very moment. But, I mean, Dink seems like the guy that's going to be your starter at star. At least that's what everything indicates to, or is pointing to right now.
Next question. Who will fill the void of blocking tight end? Now, every tight end blocks at the University of Georgia. Everyone, you have to be in line in both. Oscar Delp was kind of the enforcer, the example. We've heard Todd Hartley say, hey, he's the best blocking tight end from a technicality standpoint that I've ever seen. Who's going to fill that void?
Elias could be this. That's just me saying that because he's the biggest one. I mean, he could end up being the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Lawson Lucky's not a bad blocker by any means. He's a really good one, so that also feels like a little bit of a layup answer. He's been doing it for the longest at this level in this conference, so he understands it more than anybody else does. So for this season, I probably would just go Lawson. I think he has the most ability to kind of be that. I just don't know how they're going to use these guys, you know?
Yeah. I think Jaden Riddell is a name that needs to get more respect.
You know what? That's a phenomenal answer. I think that might be the better answer. I think that's a better answer than Lawson Lucky. I think that he would be great at that.
Yeah, I think Lawson Lucky has shown that he is far more valuable as a wide receiver. Not that he's a bad blocker at all. There's no such thing as a bad blocker in Georgia's tight end room. But I think he is more efficient in the receiving game. So I think 23 is a guy that people are going to be surprised by how much he sees, or excited by how much he sees the field.
That's a great answer. I think that's the answer, actually. I think that's the correct answer.
This is another one we've gotten a half answer on. Who are going to be your kick returners this year? We saw Sakovia
was the guy last year.
Field some punts.
When Zachariah wasn't.
Cass Jones was your opposite on kick returns.
Ooh, that's a good answer. That's a good question.
I'm going to vote Landon Roldan.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good. He did that in high school, so he has experience
and
doing it.
And he was in on the last play for Sugar Bowl.
Yes, he was.
Don't have to relive that too much, but I think that's going to be your two guys where it's going to be Landon Roldan and Sakovia White-Helton on kick returns. Sakovia White-Helton will obviously be your punt returner.
Yeah, those are probably the options that I would go with. Trying to think of anybody that would. I don't know. Any of the new wide receivers? I don't know. No, I think those would be the guys.
All right, here's one that I kind of just am going to have fun with. Who is the Brock Bowers this year? Now, before we get too far.
We got another one?
Oh. I think when I say who is the Brock Bowers of this year, who is the, screw it, we need this guy to take us to the promised land.
The offensive scapegoat.
We're going to rely on, we got to, hey, we just need this play to get a, we just need this player to make a play for us.
So last year it was Colby Young and Zachariah Branch.
I would say it was more Zachariah.
More Zachariah. I mean, the dude had 81 receptions. The next highest on the team was 26. So it was definitely Zachariah, but hey, we need a big play. Who is going to make it? Okay, well, let me find number one. So last year was Zachariah Branch. Who is that this year? It could be Lawson. Because, I mean, I don't know, though. Could be Lawson.
Let me run something by you. What if they're in the backfield?
Nate
or Chauncey. What if we're at a point in the offense where these guys have developed so much in the receiving game as well where, hey, it's third and three, you know where the ball's going. Hey, it's third and five, you probably still know where the ball's going. Running back screens are something Mike Bobo utilized a hell of a lot when he had guys like Todd Gurley and others. I'm just saying, what if the, hey, we really need you to make a play for us is in the backfield this year? Because, look, when you've got Brock Bowers on your team and you've got Zachariah Branch and you've got the Ladd McConkeys, yeah, you don't really need to have, like, dynamic win-now running backs. I feel like the majority, or not the majority, but the experience and talent is certainly stronger than it's been in the running back room in a long time. They might be your guys this year.
So Kobe definitely has playmaking style to
him. For sure.
He's definitely one of those guys. And he's just a football player. Like he just understands football. He loves it. Like that's always what, that's how I, every time I watch Sakovi, that's how I envision him. Like that's what I see in him when I watch him. Is like that dude just loves it and he does everything to make like get that extra yard. So I could see Talon Taylor being this type of player.
Mm-hmm.
I could see Elias Williams becoming this. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. You're just thinking of like guys who could be automatic mismatches. You like the matchup that they have no matter what. Those are the types of guys that I'm thinking of. And Nate and Chauncey could provide that. Like they could be mismatches no matter what. But I would probably lean more on like either Talon Taylor or Sakovi if I had to guess.
That's fair.
Because like London's like just a safety blanket. And that's different to me. He's not a scapegoat. He's just the safety blanket of like all reliables over there.
Yeah.
We know London Humphreys. We know he's going to execute every time. Like we're good. If I have to look at him, I know he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. I know he's going to be in the spot.
All right. The final two voids that we need to be filled. And this one gets filled by multiple players because it's a big unit. Who's the veteran leader on defense? You got to think. There's no C.J. Allen here, 3-year starter. There's no Dalen Everett, 3-year starter. There's no Kristen Miller, been a 2.5-year starter, been major contributor there. Who's the veteran leader, the fire guy? Now, there's obviously some options here. K.J. Right. Bolden has been on the, will be a 3-year starter here. There's Raylan.
Yeah, and I think majority of people are going to say Raylan, but what I don't want to do is what ended up happening in 2024. And that's kind of the vibe I got from Raylan when he did his player availability of like, oh, CJ was the leader in the room and now he's gone. You're the old head in the room. Now you're the leader. Like, how does that feel? It's like, yeah, you know, it's my time. Like, I don't know if that is Raylan's thing, but I don't know anything about Raylan. But what I do know about KJ is he's a vocal guy.
Yep.
He is kind of this rah-rah guy. We kind of like, he seems like someone that people would look to and like, as he goes, we go. I would say probably more so KJ being that vocal leader more than anybody else.
I'm going to nominate DeMelo Jones to take a massive
step. He got that dog in him too.
He's got the, I'm not going to do the thing, but he reminds me a little bit of another fiery corner that
he do got that dog in
played here not too long ago.
So it's not a bad shout. So I don't know.
And last, and arguably the most important one, the void that needs to be filled, who's going to be the hairs-on-fire offensive line guy? There's no doubt that Monroe Freeling was this last year, the point where Brooks talked about it, and he's right. The guy that you can point to on film and go, look how hard this guy's playing. We need to all play that way, and it motivates it by just showing through his actions on tape. Who's going to be that guy this year?
It's a great question. I don't know if I can answer it now. I don't know if I've seen it. Like, I think that there are guys on the offensive line where I could see them being this. Like, I mean, obviously, I think Donnie Glover has some of that in him. Like, I went and watched Donnie Glover when he was in high school, and I went and watched him at a mega camp at Grayson High School, and he has this in him. Like, he has that fire in him. He has the energy about him. That dude will talk that mess to anybody, and he doesn't bow down to anybody. So he has that in him, or I've seen that come out of him before. But I think it'd either be him, maybe Zakai Helton, if he ends up getting entered into the mix.
That's who I want to nominate, because you don't get all of this hype. And like we said, there hasn't been a media availability where his name hasn't popped up. You don't get all that as a true freshman unless you're playing like your hair is on fire, unless mm-hmm. you're playing with that much talent. For so, sure. Just maybe.
It's not a bad nominee. Brooks has said it has to be Donnie. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it has to be one of them. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be any. There's not a certain player.
But you're right. Someone does need to take the torch from Monroe and say it's mine now. Someone yeah. needs to be that
I'm
type
the,
of
I'm
catalyst.
I'm the crazy one.
Yeah. I'm the maniac.
Well, that's all the voids that I have that currently need to be addressed.
Well, those voids were created by players leaving for the NFL draft. And so we're going to do a quick rundown of our ideal destinations for NFL prospects. Now, you nor myself are NFL gurus, I would say. We don't know these rosters up and down, but based on what we know about these players and what their strengths are and what we do know about how these NFL teams run, we went and listed where we think they would best fit in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think we should also release a strong disclaimer. This is not based on draft position.
This is not a draft projection.
Like, if we say Monroe Freeling would be a great player on the Seattle Seahawks, saying Monroe's not going to fall to 32, obviously not, but we feel like from a team standpoint, from a roster standpoint, that is where they would thrive the most. So that's where this segment is.
All right. So first on my list, Monroe Freeling. I have it as the Rams. I know that's chalk because a lot of people are projecting him to go there, mm-hmm. but I do think he'd be a good fit there.
Yeah.
I think it'd be great for, I mean, the Rams seem to have an interest in some Georgia guys, and they need an extra offensive lineman. I think he'd be a great fit there.
I think that Monroe Freeling is an excellent prospect who needs a year or two of kind of learning under a veteran to really be a solid, a generational tackle. He's got the talent to do so. I think he's a little raw around the edges. I think it would behoove him to be kind of the bridge piece for like an Atlanta Falcons. Go learn under Jake Matthews for a season or two. Jake Matthews is like a 12-year veteran.
Oh, yeah. Hasn't missed a game.
Exactly. So go and when Jake Matthews ultimately hangs it up or you have an injury somewhere on that line, have a Monroe Freeling ready to say, all right, you're a year and a half in. We can plug you in. And it's not like he's one of these fifth-year, six-year guys. Like right. He's not going to be 30 by the time you're giving him his first starts. He's a young prospect by all accounts. So I think the Falcons would be a good fit for Monroe.
I like that. I would love to see Monroe Freeling in a Falcons uniform next year. So I like that fit. C.J. Allen.
So this is another one where just based on positional needs, this team just saw a legendary, probably Hall of Fame linebacker hang their cleats up, call it a career. Lavonte David just retired for the Bucs. I think C.J. Allen would be a very excellent, and he's
it's
mature
really
enough to
answer.
Take on that role. So the Bucs would be an ideal landing spot for C.J. Allen.
It's a really good answer. I like your answer a lot more than mine. I went with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
I think that he'd be a really good fit in that defense. They haven't been as stout defensively as they have been in previous seasons. So I think that adding a good, strong middle linebacker into the mix would be a good solution to that. But you're right. The Buccaneers do have a need for a middle linebacker right now, and I think CJ would be great in that defense down there at Tampa Bay. Zachariah Branch. Now, I don't like this answer for where the state of the organization is in, but I think he would do a lot of good things in this offense. The Miami Dolphins.
Ah.
Mike McDaniel, like, the Miami Dolphins, I think, could do really good things with a guy like him.
I would see that. Zachariah Branch, I think that the main concern people have coming into the league is that he doesn't have a decent enough route tree. He doesn't have enough, you know, ability to separate. His catch radius is too small. You need to get him win now plays. You need to do that with a quarterback that necessarily is going to be kind of coming into their own and around an offense. I think Zachariah Branch would make an excellent Las Vegas Raider. And this is no bias of my own, although I would love to see him there.
No.
Let me explain this.
You've already tarnished two dogs. Don't do another. One dog.
No, dude. No, poor, I think Zachariah Branch would thrive in an offense with a Fernando Mendoza, where a guy who might be still learning an NFL system to where you can, hey, hitches, digs, slants, screens, very simple route tree that you need to have Zachary Branch. Not that he can't run anything else, but the requirement, you know, he can run those well.
Yeah, that's why I said the Dolphins, because they're depleted everywhere, but they got Malik Willis. So if you think your offensive line is going to be bad, what better weapon to have than a Zachary Branch? And I think Jeff Hafley could do a good job, too, with using him and would know how to use him. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they aren't as bad as I think, as Chad's mentioning, but it does seem like it was like, all right, we got Malik Willis. We don't need anything else. We're good. We're just going to sign this quarterback to this contract and be like, yeah, let's go. Here we go. Oscar Delp.
Oscar Delp's an interesting one because he's kind of a do-everything guy. And when you have a do-everything tight end, like, they fit virtually everywhere.
NFL draft people love Oscar Delp.
NFL draft people do love Oscar Delp.
They have fallen in love with Oscar Delp.
I think Oscar Delp would be a very nice 1-2 punch on the Browns with Harold Fannin.
And so Todd Monken reuniting there?
Reunite with Todd Monken. Okay. Kind of a guy that... So I think that, again, when you have a do-everything tight end, they fit almost everywhere. Like, every NFL organization could use a solid, just does-everything tight end. Can block, can be a threat out of the receiving. Like, it's hard to be like, oh, he would be a perfect fit in this one area. So I'm putting him on the Browns.
I put the Bengals. The Bengals don't have, seems like, anybody at tight end right now.
That's fair.
They already have two dogs blocking up front for them on the offensive line in Dylan Fairchild and Amarius Mims. Why not add another one into the mix who really excels at that? I think for a position of need, and you could get a really good one on day two, Oscar Delp is a really good answer for them. Then you got Joe Burrow. You got plenty of weapons in that offense. Like, I feel like he would be pretty heavily featured there.
Yeah.
Kristen Miller, you went selfish with Zachary Branch. I'm going to go selfish here. The Falcons. They need an interior defensive lineman. I think that Kristen Miller is the perfect second-round pick, because we don't have a first-round pick. He's the perfect second-round pick for the Atlanta Falcons. First, I think you, like, all you need is somebody that is stable, that's going to do their job, that is consistent. Kristen Miller brings that with him every single game.
I promise this is the last time I'm doing this.
You going to do it again?
Kristen Miller is a player who has a great personality. He is someone that would bring excitement to this organization. He is at a position of need. I think he would make a great Las Vegas Raider. That's the last one.
Boom.
That's the last one. And that's – they need defensive linemen, dude. They need interior defensive linemen. Yeah. He would be a fantastic pick.
I think it's no coincidence that the teams that we both root for need a defensive lineman right now, considering the history of these teams.
That's the last one, though. I promise. I'm not doing any other.
He was the only one for me. I wasn't selfish at all.
I gave you Monroe. You don't even have a first
You gave me Monroe. I was like, no, Monroe, you can go here instead. It's okay.
Yeah, because you know you wouldn't get him because he's a first rounder.
Facts. Dylan Bell. I think there's one obvious answer here, because who some of the, like, who people want to comp him to sometimes. But ultimately, when I thought of Dylan Bell, I need a guy that, or I need an offensive mind on this staff that can put him in so many different situations and truly understand how to utilize his skill set to make him efficient in the league. For that reason, I said the 49ers or the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I also have the 49ers here. Here's another answer that I had, and this just shows how not biased I'm being. Dylan Bell is a player where you can do weird shit with. And I mean that in, you can line him up in interesting formations. You can put him in the backfield. You can have him throw touchdowns. You can have him catch touchdowns. You can have him rush touchdowns. He is a do-everything guy, more so than a Deebo Samuel is. But he's a wide receiver at the core. He's kind of exactly what Andy Reid and the Chiefs would be looking for, in that you can do weird formations with him. You can do unique things. You can do trick plays. But he's also a very, very solid wide receiver who's, by the way, been trained to all his positions. He's played X. He's played Z. He's played slot. I think he's a perfect fit for the Kansas City Chiefs, as much as I would hate to see him in that jersey.
Mm. Yeah, that would be tough. But that's a really good option. I didn't even think about the Chiefs. And they got they brought back Eric Bieniemy, so you're kind of getting that. Not old school Kansas City Chiefs, but a few years back Kansas City Chiefs offense that you had, or that's what they're trying to do, at least it seems like. Colby Young. I just went simple replacement here. They have Anita X. This is a guy that you could take in the later rounds. Now, I know that you don't usually find your starting X receiver in the fifth round or wherever Colby Young's going to end up, but Tampa Bay Bucks, they need an X receiver. No more Mike Evans over there. Colby Young, a good X receiver in college when he was healthy.
Yeah, I'm also staying in the NFC South here. I think that you pair Colby Young up with a guy like Chris Olave, who is more of a Z-body type. I think that that could be a very, very interesting dynamic between him. And now, again, Colby Young would not be the star of that show. Colby Young would not be wide receiver one in that. But he would be a refreshing, oh, we have an actual X-body type for that that can make big plays for us. And when Chris Olave ultimately gets a concussion because he's consistently being giving hospital balls. So,
Dalen Everett.
Dalen Everett's another interesting one because there's so many leagues or so many teams in this league that could just use a solid, speedy corner.
I said Packers.
I went with the Steelers.
Oh, I like that one.
I think that he would make a very good Pittsburgh Steeler, a team that had a really solid defense this year, could be better. Now, Mike Tomlin no longer on that organization. They may not have the same love for Georgia players as they once did, but we'll see.
And they have a really good corner already in Porter, so you could just throw Dalen Everett beside him. Like, I like that answer. Micah Morris, for whatever reason, there's no analysis in this one. Micah Morris just looks like he belongs in a Tennessee Titans jersey.
Interesting.
I think he just looks like he belongs there.
Here's what I think was going to happen. It's late Friday, early Saturday in the draft process. We're getting in the rounds 4 or 5. Howie Roseman looks over. He's like, wait a minute. We haven't taken a Georgia player yet? We need an offensive lineman.
See what this guy did at the combine? Yeah. My God.
Give me Michael Morris from the Georgia Bulldogs. He's a Philadelphia Eagle.
It's a perfect
answer. They're going to do one.
I didn't have the Eagles at all. That's shame on me.
They're going to do it for one of them.
Yeah, they will. All right, final name, because no shade to Cash Jones, but I just don't know if he's going to be drafted.
And it's not even that, like, what's the perfect?
I don't know what the fit is.
Right.
I think everybody could use someone like Cash.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs a receiving back. So I don't know what the fit is.
I have no worries that he's going to be a NFL roster player this year.
Right. I think I saw where the Patriots met with him. So
yeah,
there you go. Even without Bill Belichick, they got a knack. They got a knack for him.
What's the knack? What do you mean?
Lunch pail guy. Works really hard.
First in the building, last out type guy.
Yeah.
No nonsense type guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right, last name Noah Thomas. I went Texans.
Interesting.
I don't know.
So I view Noah Thomas as he's a home run hitter guy. If you get him the ball, no matter where you get in the ball, it's liable to go for a touchdown. But it's also he's not going to be your center focus. I feel like Noah Thomas would pair very well with a Caleb Williams-style offense where we're on the run, Caleb Williams is making things happen, and he finds Noah Thomas for a essentially just an oh-shit throw, and he turns that into a 50-yard touchdown reception. That's kind of what I envision for Noah Thomas here. I don't think that he is a true NFL X-body type. I don't think that he's going to be someone where you're consistently relying on him down and down. I do think there are games where you wake up and you look and go, Noah Thomas had 3 receptions for 120 yards today. What the hell happened? And you go back and watch the highlights, and it's Caleb Williams finding him on these types of plays. That's my envision for where Noah Thomas would be, and I think that's the perfect landing spot for him.
I like it. You definitely thought about it more than I did. I was just like, I don't know. Seems like a Texans guy. Sure. But that concludes our list, and I think that concludes today's show.
No. See, we told him we were not going to end the show at 9:55. So we have the bonus player that we can talk about. Brett Thorson, where's he landing?
Oh, gosh. Anybody? I know that today I saw on ESPN they have him as a number one punter. So he might get drafted. There's a good chance he gets drafted.
Here's my idea, and this is I'm being fully selfish now. I don't care. The ideal landing spot for Brett Thorson is the Atlanta Falcons because I want to be as available to interview that man as I can. He is one of my favorite Georgia players to interview, the most entertaining, and seeing him be inundated in the city of Atlanta and constantly being around that media would be so much damn fun. By the way, talked about firing up the podcast with Tate again.
Ooh, do now, bring that back.
Now, I don't know how that would work if, you know,
Wouldn't be in studio
anymore. He's in Detroit and you're somewhere else. And
yeah, certainly couldn't be in studio anymore unless they get drafted. He gets drafted by the Lions.
And he said they'd have to change the name because they no longer have mullets. And
Tate got a haircut.
He offered the name Two Losers in a Mic.
That's a very Brett name.
Classic Brett Thorson name. But no, I mean,
so for that reason, the Detroit Lions should draft Brett Thorson.
Wherever he goes, he's going to be the most beloved punter in the league.
I can't wait for these NFL fans with who have no idea about Brett Thorson. Especially if he goes to one of these Midwest teams that don't really have a college football team that they follow, or the Denver Broncos. If he goes to the Denver Broncos, it's going to be like, this Brett Thorson guy, all right, went to Georgia. I guess that's good. And they're going to be like, why is he now featured in every social media clip that we put out now? Why is he featured in everything?
Wait a minute. He's Australian?
And he's cool?
And he's funny? That first Brett Thorson edit when he's in the NFL. Dude, I'm getting excited.
It was like when Packers fans got introduced to Nas Stackhouse. And all of them were like, this guy's the best. Nas Stackhouse is one of my favorite players already. And it's like, yeah, it was so easy to see because he has that personality.
Which, by the way, Nas Stackhouse has dropped all media training that he learned at the University of Georgia.
Whoa. Don't I know what video you're talking about.
If you don't know what video I'm talking about, just go to Twitter and search up Nas Stackhouse and see what he says about rival quarterback, granted, Caleb Williams. I mean, we saw NBA players get cut for worse, so.
It's facts. Yeah, he had a take about Caleb, and he gave him a little nickname.
That's got to be the team's nickname for him.
Obviously.
You don't just pull that out the hat and go, this is his nickname. The Green Bay Packers clearly call him that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Are we good now, you think?
Yes.
All right. I think we're good. We will see you guys on Thursday. We appreciate all of you guys who stick with us throughout these shows when Brooks isn't even here. We seriously do appreciate that. We'll see you guys on Thursday. We'll have some Discord Q&A. So if you want to be a part of that Q&A, you better go and sign up over there on patreon.com/BrooksAustin. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We'll see you on Thursday. Like and subscribe if you haven't already.
Please.